Welcome to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. Coming up on today's show, we'll meet up with a group of songwriters at a retreat in Crisfield, Maryland, as they go off the grid and dive deep into the craft with some of the best in the business. But first, the Maryland primary election is less than 2 weeks away, and as the candidates pound the pavement, recent polling suggests there are still a lot of undecided voters out there. So this week, we sat down with contenders on both sides of the aisle. We'll start with the Democrats and the current Attorney General, Doug Gansler. Gansler has been very critical of the race's frontrunner and current Lieutenant Governor, Anthony Brown, for not only his role in the O'Malley administration, but particularly for his leadership during the state's health care exchange rollout, which Gansler calls a disaster.
We were 45th in the country in actually enrolling people, and very, very few people were able to enroll over the website, which cost taxpayers almost $200 million. And of course, the problem with it is it's literally the only thing the lieutenant governor's ever done in terms of managing something or leading something. So what I did was I called for abandoning the website once we realized it wasn't going to work and go to the federal website, which does work. And it could be done tomorrow, and it would be for free. But instead, what they have done is they went into a closed room, no transparency, no competition, and decided to adopt the Connecticut plan. And the problem, of course, the people in Connecticut even say that it's not going to work here. And meanwhile, the lieutenant governor was raising almost $1 million from healthcare lobbyists and healthcare companies instead of running the Affordable Care Act rollout.
Some pollsters have looked, and political analysts have looked at the way that you've run your campaign and some of the issues that you've taken a stand on, and said that you're sort of the most conservative candidate on the Democratic side. I guess first tell me the strategy behind that and why you think you appeal to the voting base here on the Eastern Shore.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a strategy or not, it's just who I am. I think the reason why we appeal to voters on the Eastern Shore is because I come to the Eastern Shore. I'm the only candidate in this race that grew up in Maryland, so I've been coming to the Eastern Shore my entire life. So that I think that's one part of it. But the other part is that, yes, I'm more fiscally conservative. I do believe that we have a jobs problem here in Maryland, that, you know, we're 49th in the country in personal income growth. We have lost over 8,000 small businesses in the last 8 years. We have 76% more people unemployed. We only have four Fortune 500 companies left. And people really don't, you know, there's a recent poll that says 47% of the people in Maryland would rather live somewhere else. And so there's a lot of dissatisfaction in terms of the tax burden that's squeezing the middle class. They've raised 40 straight taxes in a row, and the middle class can't handle it anymore. And so my view is, look, let's bring jobs back. Let's build up the tax base. I'm a Democrat. We need to have that money coming in. So instead of facing deficits every year, we have surpluses so we can fix some of the problems that we do have, like some of the environmental issues, traffic issues, public safety issues.
Under your administration as governor, if elected, what would economic development and growth look like here on the shore?
When I'm governor, we're going to have jobs coming back to Maryland. We're going to go from an anti-business state to a pro-business state, but we're going to do it in a smart way, involving smart growth, and we'll have jobs in the municipalities. We'll help build up Salisbury. We'll help build up, you know, the jobs in Ocean City in the months when people aren't coming here for summer vacation. And so I think we have to do that across the shore. I mean, one of the problems that we have here in Maryland is we've dropped to 46th in the country in manufacturing. So we need to say to manufacturers is, look, come to Maryland, come to the shore. We also need to work on the education gap. We have a rural education gap as well, where a lot of the schools aren't at the same level as some of the schools over on the Western Shore. So we just have to recognize that, you know, when you're running for governor, as I've been as Attorney General, you're running for governor of the whole state. True, there's not as many people on the Eastern Shore. True, there's not as many Democrats on the Eastern Shore. But it's a responsibility, frankly, it's a moral responsibility as Attorney General and then as governor to really make sure that you're the governor of the entire shore. And the last thing I'd mention on the Eastern Shore in particular is we need to protect our agriculture. We need to protect our farmers. Really, if you think about it, farms are open space, and we want to protect that. That's the way in which we protect the environment, to work with our farmers, work with our agricultural community, because if we lose our farmers and our agriculture, we get more sprawl, and that's not what we want on the Eastern Shore.
Now, if Doug Gansler is considered the most conservative of the three Democratic candidates, Heather Mazier is probably the most progressive. If elected, she would be the state's first female governor and its first openly gay governor. But she says this race is not about making history. It's about finding new ways to fix very real problems in our state and paving a promising future for the Eastern Shore. We started with her plan for education and economic development, one that calls for using revenue generated from the regulation of marijuana.
Other candidates have proposed doing smaller versions of a pre-K expansion, but the revenue that they're going to use to expand pre-K they would take out of the K through 12 classrooms and try to do more with the same amount of money. I'm the only candidate that's bringing new revenue to the table, and it's through acknowledging that our marijuana prohibition laws have been a failure, that too many people are arrested and go to jail for this nonviolent possession. It ruins their lives. It's been enforced with racial bias, and it keeps our law enforcement from focusing on more violent and serious crimes. And when we legalize, tax, and regulate marijuana, we bring that underground economy into the light of day, put the state in charge of regulating it, keeping it out of the hands of youth. And for adults who want to make the decision in the privacy of their own home, it's no different than alcohol or tobacco. So why are we treating it differently? And we can take that revenue, which would be projected at about $160 million of new money every year, I dedicate exclusively to this early childhood education program.
Another thing, Heather, that really sets you apart from your competitors is the fact that you chose and opted to use public financing for your campaign, meaning, you know, you're essentially going into the final stretch of the campaign with less money in the bank than Doug Gansler or Anthony Brown.
We decided from the beginning of this campaign that we wanted to return Annapolis to the people, that things have been adrift for too long, and that the special interest and the wealthiest in Maryland have had a say in Maryland forever. And it's time to elect middle-class champions and people who are accountable to the voters. And we're not taking corporate money. We're not soliciting lobbyists. We're not taking state contractor money. We have solely run this campaign on the excitement and support of low-dollar grassroots donors all across the state, and we've done really well. We always said we'd be outspent, but we would never be outnumbered or outworked, and we have enough money to get our message across. Yes, we have fewer ads, but we're focused on a positive message that's inspiring people. Other candidates, I think, are wasting their money on negative attack ads that voters don't like, and we're always going to keep this race positive and inspiring.
Let's focus on this region, on the Eastern Shore, rural Maryland. What are your plans for rejuvenating and sparking economic growth?
We know that when we put more money in the hands of the middle class, it goes right back into the economy. We also are going to shift and make sure that while we're giving small businesses more revenue through those tax cuts, we're going to ask more of them to pay a higher wage to their employees. We shouldn't just have a minimum wage. We need to have a living wage and have it indexed for inflation so that the cost of living isn't eroded on a regular basis, and make sure that tipped wage workers are making more than $3.63 an hour by getting their wage up to 70% of the new threshold. That's going to help a lot of people on the Eastern Shore. 40% of Eastern Shore families live below the poverty line. No one should be working 40 hours a week and still live in poverty. We have to boost those wages, make sure that people are able to earn more and be taxed less.
Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown has carried the lead on the Democratic side throughout this entire race. Opponents have criticized him for being too overconfident and skipping out on a few debates in recent weeks. But Brown says he's focused on what's ahead and plans on finishing this race right where he started, at the front of the pack. We started with his plans to improve things here on the shore if he's elected.
My five-point jobs plan, which, you know, is a statewide plan, of course, with regional and local applications, puts a big emphasis on investments in infrastructure, you know, and whether it's the, you know, replacing the Dover Bridge, whether it's the Ocean City Convention Center expansion, whether it's ensuring that, you know, post major storms, we are, you know, replacing, rebuilding the boardwalk and piers. That's infrastructure. But all infrastructure also includes, you know, rural broadband, includes affordable housing, clean water and wastewater treatment facilities. So first and foremost, it's investments in infrastructure and making sure that those investments happen throughout the state and not just in central Maryland. Another big part of that is investing in, and I mentioned the career technology education, it's the education and training so that Marylanders have the skills and ability to fill those jobs, whether it's in the infrastructure delivery or the jobs that are created as a result of that. And then finally, I would say, and you know, this is again one of the components of my jobs plan, is my emphasis on supporting small and entrepreneurial businesses. I think that's where the real growth opportunity is in Maryland. Two out of every three jobs that are created in this country are created in small businesses. So I'm proposing things like a microloan fund, want to expand our MBE program, look at our use of tax credits And look, once we have broadband in throughout rural Maryland, then when we talk about the cyber industry, that doesn't mean you've got to locate outside the fence at Fort Meade. You can locate a cyber company anywhere on the Eastern Shore, but you got to have the broadband, and that's the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So that's why my jobs plan really emphasizes infrastructure, education and training, and support to small and entrepreneurial businesses.
Let's talk for a minute about one of the areas in which you've received a good bit of scrutiny over the course of this campaign, and that's, of course, your leadership during the healthcare exchange rollout. What would you say to people who are unsure about perhaps your ability to lead moving forward because of what happened with the healthcare exchange rollout?
What Marylanders want are leaders who are going to do the hard work, who are going to solve problems, even those problems that arise, and achieve the intended result. So when we set out to establish the health benefits exchange, you know, just like every state, just like the president and the federal exchange, we encountered significant technical challenges. So as a result of the work we did, we first reorganized the leadership at the exchange. We refocused the vendors, and we had to plus up the resources, staff at the call centers and the navigators around the state. And as a result, you know, where our goal was 260,000, we enrolled 340,000 Marylanders. And, you know, that's a big number, but let's remember what that number represents. We're talking about the, you know, family who has a family member with a pre-existing condition. They were priced out of the market 6 months ago. Today they can get insurance for, you know, a reasonable rate. You know, these are the seniors who are no longer choosing between, you know, prescription drugs and groceries. So 340,000 more Marylanders today have access to affordable, quality health care as a result of the you know, believe me, manual workarounds, a lot of manual workarounds to get it done.
That was Lieutenant Governor and Democratic candidate for governor, Anthony Brown. We also heard from Heather Mazier and Doug Gansler. You can learn more about the candidates at our website, wamucoast.org. Up next, we'll cross the aisle and talk with the four gubernatorial candidates vying for the chance to represent the Republican Party in Maryland's general election in November. I'm Brian Russo, and you're listening to Coastal Connection. We'll be right back.